Are book recommendations allowed?
Sure.
Podcast space.
Yeah.
So I am reading, meaning listening to, Maid, M-A-I-D, which is a memoir written by this woman kind of chronicling her life, homeless, single mom, and how she navigated and how she cleaned houses. And it's compelling and amazing. But what's really interesting about her story is that she kind of knew she wanted to be a writer, but like, of course, her life was chaos and everything. Yeah. And so, do you know who, what's her name? Barbara Herrenberg, I think is her name? I don't know. She wrote the book Nickel and Dimed, where she like went into low wage. This was like decades ago.
Oh, I remember
she
the
went into
story about
wage
him. Yeah.
Jobs and like she's a journalist and she like chronicled like how she was treated and you know and always knew of course that at the end of the day she would go back to being herself. But so she started this organization like nonprofit specifically to help give a voice for people that were living in poverty and low wage jobs and the whole deal, to help them cultivate them as writers to tell their stories. So this woman just in the past like few years hooked up with that organization, and then the woman who started that organization, Barbara Herrenreich, I think again, I don't remember her name, she wrote the foreword for her book. Like it's crazy. It's really cool and it's heartbreaking. Like so heartbreaking. But
so the good news is
well in the end. Yeah.
You just did review it for the podcast. So, hey, everybody, and welcome to the 11th episode of the Fun Fact Friday. We actually almost have a full house. We are missing Jess. Jess, we miss you, and we wish you were here. But so, I am Linda.
To interrupt you, but I was sitting too far back from our microphone.
Well, we'll see.
I don't know if that intro actually made it into the...
I believe it probably did because of the high-tech and very sensitive recording equipment we have here in the studio.
All right. Well, we shall see when our editor gets to it.
Indeed. Yeah, I'm sure the sound waves are impeccable.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay,
all right, so introduce yourselves, people.
All right, I'll go first. Hi, Lindsay's here.
I'm Heather. I've already made my presence known.
And I'm Meg.
All right, I think I'm going to go first. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you should.
I agree. I'm pretty excited. Pretty excited about my topic because, as always, it is at least tangentially related to Game of Thrones.
Wait a minute.
What?
We're still on this?
We're still doing it
for several reasons that we'll discuss offline.
Oh.
I think, I'll tell you, I think it broadens our base. I think
absolutely.
One of the upticks we saw in subscriptions happened when I started putting Game of Thrones on. You laugh, Missy. Hashtag almost famous.
She has the data to support
it. I do
this
have the data
great.
To support it.
I love
Thank
that.
You. All right, so, So
let's keep it PG-13.
Sorry.
Says the person who often talks about vaginas.
Okay, so my topic is how to become a knight. Right?
K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yes.
Not
N-I-G-H-T. No. Or, which also would be related to Game of Thrones. But no, true. This one is how to be a knigget, which nobody gets that reference?
No.
Anyone in my audience
Holy
get
Grail?
That reference? Yes, yeah, the Holy Grail.
Thank you.
You silly English kniggets. All right, so. Number one, and perhaps easiest, was, and we're going to talk both in the Middle Ages and in modern times.
Shall I get a paper pen? Shall I take notes?
No. Okay. I have it all right here on my...
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Will you hand that out after?
Yes, please. Okay. Yes, I will.
And annotated.
Indeed. So
like Meg.
Like Meg's meticulously annotated notes.
There's not only...
This is my presentation.
There's not only highlighting, but there are annotations. So, number one, bravery on the battlefield. So if you prove yourself in battle, you could immediately get knighted. However, the more traditional process was to go through basically an apprenticeship. So you start off, and you have to be male, of course. You have to be born into the nobility, although there are some examples of people from the middle class kind of made it into the track. But for the most part, you had to be the child of a nobleman.
I have to interrupt.
Sure, because that's what you do.
Because that's what I do. You're saying everything in the past tense.
Yes.
As if either the rules have changed or people are no longer knighted.
Exactly. The rules have changed.
Okay.
People are still knighted.
Because that's where we get, like,
Sir Elton
Ringo
John.
Ringo Starr.
Yeah. Right, right.
And,
right.
You know, rock stars they may be, demonstrating bravery on the battlefield.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sir Ken Robinson, I don't think, would qualify.
Yeah, right, for battlefield.
Yeah, creativity guy in education.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Robinson.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you said. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I did muffle.
He is a sir, right?
He is a sir.
Yes.
Yes. Which, by the by, there are five different levels of knighthood of the order of, what the hell is it called? The Order of Great Britain. And there are... Oh, darn it. So there are actually five different levels. And only... So you, as an American, you could be knighted. Well, not you, because you're a woman. But a guy could... An American could be knighted, but he's not allowed to be called sir unless he's British. So all of the Americans who have received the order, the knighthood, they're not allowed to be called sir.
So no one knows.
So...
Right.
Unless, yeah.
Right. So there are initials you can put at the end of your...
They call them bruh.
That's right. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. All right. So going back to the Middle Ages.
Okay.
So a page, maybe you're around 7 years old, you get put into this process of becoming a knight. So at that point, you are just really a servant, but you're learning how to ride horses, and you're doing hunting, and you kind of learn mock weaponry. So you don't get to play with the big stuff yet, but you're learning some of the things. And then by the time you get to around...
Nerf guns and slingshots.
Nerf guns and slingshots, exactly.
What's the big stick that they use on horses?
Oh, like, the lance.
Isn't
it's not a javelin?
It's a lance. No, you throw a javelin. A lance is the...
Sword thing.
It's not a sword, though.
Maybe I mean,
it's a pointy
that,
thing.
But I associate
I like Meg's definition. It's a long, pointy stick.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So then you move on to being a squire in your early teens. Now, the squire, very much like Podrick, right?
Yeah.
Podrick is a squire for we don't know the end yet, but we can assume for the rest of his life.
He's been fully
trained
up.
Yes, but he's not a knight.
Yeah, I think all the social norms are done now.
Well, could be.
We are post-formality in Game of Thrones.
So this is much more of the apprenticeship where you're actually helping, you're dressing the knight, you know, you're working with a specific person. You're learning how to read and write in both Latin and potentially French. You learn quote unquote good manners. Emily Post wasn't there yet, but you learn about chivalry and how to live a chivalrous life.
Got another question.
Okay, we're not going to go deep into chivalry though, because
no. What's
okay,
my chivalry?
Be a whole
I'm just wondering, like, because I was also a fan of Downton Abbey.
Okay,
and I'm just wondering if this translated over time to the way that our you know, the large estates of the aristocrats would then be manned by these footmen and butlers and all those things.
Yes.
Even though they were lords, not necessarily knight. But
right.
It feels
well,
like there's
the
an
knights,
evolution there.
In order to be a knight, you have to pledge fealty to a lord, a baron, a king. So,
house,
if you will.
Okay.
So, interesting. Not all.
Yeah, this is good.
Very much like Pod. Not all squires become knights.
Mm.
And one of the most infamous, by the by, is Chaucer.
Chaucer
got promoted.
Huh.
He was a squire.
Chaucer of the Canterbury Tales.
And he got
Canterbury
caught
Tales.
Up in the writing aspect.
Right, exactly. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's out in battle and stuff. He's got a pen mightier than a sword and stuff like that.
Smaller stick.
Yeah. Exactly. Much smaller stick. That's what she said.
Very pointy.
And then there was a huge ornate ceremony where you were dubbed a knight, and at that point, and it usually happened in your early 20s, late teens.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's because it's a career path, right? It's not necessarily something you get through merit.
It's the early version of like career vocational
education.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tracking, really.
It really was tracking.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so it was a very... religion heavy process where the knights would stay up the night before in front of the altar with their sword on the altar and praying, and the sword's been blessed and all that stuff, and then they get the on the shoulders, the sword on the shoulder stuff.
And then after that, you are responsible to work as a guard for a baron in his castle or a king or some kind of sovereign. And the church, which is why the Crusades, you know, the knights populated the Crusades. It was, and there were various people who went because there was the Children's Crusade as well. But there were, the knights were the fighting force, Knights Templar, were the bankers of the Crusades. You were, if it was not a time of war, your duty was to provide 40 days of service. But in a time of war, it was more that you had to put in.
40 days of service.
Oh, a year.
Like weekends, like a National Guard.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Right? Yeah, not bad. So, of course, if we're basically, if we're spoiling anything for Game of Thrones, sorry, you are way late.
You're
to
late.
The game.
We've already
yeah,
decided.
This, all right. I guess I shouldn't watch.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, no, you could, but and now all of a sudden this will make sense. There was an Order of the Hatchet, which was specifically for women.
Ah.
It was not an ongoing. It was just so there was a particular battle in Spain, and there were. There were women who fought against the Muslims during the Reconquest mm-hmm. era, and so women were instrumental. There were not enough men to defend the city, so the women did.
I love that you just assume I know there's a Reconquest era.
We've
been over this before about my lack of history, historical.
So around 1150.
Like every good middle schooler, just go, okay.
Right, exactly. Okay, so we can talk about, let me write notes for next time.
I need a graphic organizer, I need visuals.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. So they dressed up as men, and they were armed with hatchets, apparently, not swords.
Is this Joan of Arc era?
No. I mean, it depends on how broad you are. Yes, Joan of Arc was the Middle Ages.
Okay.
This is in the Middle Ages. But the Middle Ages were a long ass
right.
time.
Right, yeah.
So they successfully repelled the attackers, and they so the city was saved. And in appreciation, the Count Ramon Berenguer,
that dude,
instituted the Order of the Hatchet
no
for women who participated in that defense, which brought them privileges and tax exemptions. However, it was not a military order, and it did not continue. So once all of those women died, it so did the Order of the Hatchet. But they were knighted.
Okay.
But
They weren't called a knight. But they went through the same ceremony with a hatchet?
I don't know. I know the hatchet is what they used when they were fighting against
right.
the Moors.
But, like, was that the thing that was on the blessing of
I
soul
know
and
not.
Shoulders? And,
I do not know.
What's the opposite word of sir? Ma'am?
Yeah.
Ma'am?
Well,
ma'am.
Madam. But no, they, so interestingly, because my next fun fact is about the fact that France knighted women before England ever did. And so they have the Legion of Honor, the Légion d'Honneur, and you could be knighted in the mid-19th century as a woman, but you were still referred to as a chevalier, which is the masculine form of the word knight. And so it wasn't until significantly later that they changed it. When was it? The year 2000, they changed it so that you could be referred to as a chevalier, which is the feminine form.
So there are women knights in England?
So you know what? There have been, but...
Like Judi Dench.
Right. She's a dame. Yeah.
Is that the equivalent?
I would say it's the equivalent, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's a distinction without a difference, or a difference without a distinction.
Okay.
And then the last, so after the Tudors.
This is very fact heavy.
This is a lot to take.
Yeah. Well, look, it's better than numbers. That's all I have to say.
I don't know about that.
I would argue that.
Yes.
So finally, after the Tudors, Henry VIII and everything, it became much more honorary. It was no longer a military connotation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the last order that I will talk about, jerks, is the Order of St. Gregory the Great, which is the, if you do service to the Pope, you can become a knight of St. Gregory the Great. Only men.
I was going to assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there have been exceptions.
Although this
made,
current Pope...
You never
I think
know.
He'll make an exception.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Really, the way that you can become a knight of St. Gregory is, at this point, to donate huge amounts of money.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say, organs.
Only if you're donating that organ to the Pope.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So going back to the one where you said, so now people are knighted more so for an honorary means.
Yes.
Is there any kind of, is that very subjective, open to interpretation?
So the the queen, who is the person who dubs, tries to stay out of the nomination process because, you know, they try and keep her out of politics. And
it's so, just Vladimir Putin.
Yes. So the parliament puts forth the people and approves the people who are going to be knighted.
Okay.
It is often because they have contributed a lot of money to campaigns that they get knighted. So it really has lost a lot of luster. Bob Hope was knighted. David Bowie was offered twice different levels of knighthood.
And he declined.
Each time he says, not what I'm about.
Because he's awesome.
Awesome.
Dead. It's okay. His spirit lives on.
Indeed.
That's actually an excellent transition to my article about death.
About David Bowie?
Nice. Oh. Not about David Bowie. About Frankenpig.
Awesome.
I love it already.
It's a thing.
You didn't read this recently?
Frankenpig took a great turn.
Oh no, they brought a poop up for him? Oh no.
Great turn.
Oh no, I'm
great
scared.
Turn of events.
All right. So, recently, April 17th, Yale came out with an article where they were stating that they were able to bring back a pig's brain post-mortem 4 hours after death.
Wow.
And it challenged long-held assumptions that timing and the irreversible nature of brain tissue. And so I'm reading, I'm like, really?
Well, and you're all excited.
Yeah, like, I was a little devastated they didn't call it Frankenpig.
Yeah,
they didn't call him a zombie.
Scientists restore partial brain function hours after death. That was a boring title. Frankenpig's way better.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, zombie pig.
Yeah, so tell you more about the pig,
please.
And they didn't name the pig. I would have named the pig, but regardless.
Oh, I bet he had a name, but they're not going to
do that because I'm going to say the people who protest any sort of
animal experiment, that makes so much more sense.
We're steering clear of names.
I'm only looking at these scientists.
It was, but they remember when they named the was it the sheep that they called?
Yes. Yeah.
Dolly.
Yeah. Dolly.
And that was in another country. That was in Scotland or Zealand,
something like that.
If it involves a sheep, it should be either Scotland or Greece.
Where they probably insisted on naming their animals that they're designing scientific experiments.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So the pig came. It was a brain from a meatpacking plant, and they were able to use a special.
Wait, it wasn't even the whole pig. It was just the brain.
I was just gonna say.
Oh my God!
Was it really just the brain?
Just the brain.
The brain. I could have eaten this.
The bacon.
Yep. Just the brain. Right. We will fondly refer to him as Bacon from here on.
Oh my gosh.
So they injected it with a specially designed chemical solution, and many of the basic cellular functions that they usually think after oxygen and blood are cut off from a brain can't happen again, they were able to revitalize.
Wow.
Without the rest of the body.
And without the rest of the body.
So what's the purpose of the brain at that point?
Right? Okay. So, obviously I read on.
Hold your horses.
Or your pigs.
Yes.
So, the brain, that they're able to see function, but it wasn't any recognizable global electrical signals that were associated with normal brain function. So it was kind of sporadic.
Okay.
There were still communications between the neurons, just not anything that they had seen like in a normal, healthy, living pig brain. So that then helped them to deduce that anything associated with like perception, awareness, consciousness was not there.
Okay.
Total zombie brain.
Right? Frankenpig.
Right. So you're right. So if they had retained the body,
would it have made a difference?
Some functioning.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What would those functions have been?
It wasn't to appreciate art.
Many years of study.
Many years.
That's
good.
Study of The Walking Dead.
Yep.
Most likely, the most basic
amygdala.
Impulse. Yes, the amygdala. To feed probably would have been, and maybe some of those autonomous, you know what I'm talking, like
heartbeat, yep. Like all those things that are...
We don't have conscious control over.
But those things. I would push back on that because they would recognize that. So, but they're saying that they don't that it wasn't recognized, but they know what that...
I don't know how carefully they have mapped the brain, the brain functionings of a typical pig.
Are
I
you kidding
see
me?
The
of
comparison.
Course they have. Of course they have.
The reason I...
Go ahead.
Point
counterpoint. Push back.
I'm totally taking
Dr. Darcy?
Yes.
I would argue that, and this is not something I know for a fact, but I'm going to assert.
Mm-hmm. I don't know for a fact, but I believe.
But I believe that they've only recently started to even look at dog neurological functioning. Mm-hmm. I just don't think anybody's really taken the time to
I disagree, because the pig has always been, I mean, it's physiologically really close to humans. And so they've used
calling
the pigs. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Right, okay, so there's this line in here that really stuck out to me. So they're not defining it as a living brain, but it's a cellularly active brain.
Mm. Well, is that so, like brain dead?
All right. Okay. Like, so that's my question. Yeah. So, in order for something to be a living brain, it has to be then conscious. Is kind of what I'm gathering, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But so then, what about other living things that have brains? Do we know that they
that have
no
consciousness? Yeah. Like,
well, then how do you define consciousness?
Well, there are things that are alive that don't have brains. They just have central nervous system.
Very true.
Right. Like a slug, a worm,
amoeba. I'm thinking more like plant level.
Plant level.
I would say.
Okay. But I think even like a jellyfish doesn't, that's when I was wrong. They only have a central nervous system.
I want to say you're correct, but I'm not.
Can you go research
an expert
and get back?
Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to.
She's a chemist, not a biologist.
I'm going to write
the distinction between a living brain and a, whatever that statement was, is consciousness.
Yeah. Not a living brain, but cellularly active brain. Interesting. Okay. So before they thought it was a very swift, irreversible process, like mm-hmm. seconds, minutes mm-hmm. after, because the current understanding was they had a big cascade of these death molecules, or you could think of like brain death eaters that would go and kill everything mm-hmm. once the signal was, all right, we're going to die. Everyone's dying. Kill all kind of thing.
Really?
That's
a thing?
Like, that's a thing.
Wow.
A cascade of injury and death molecules are then activated to lead widespread irreversible degeneration. And so now this...
Wow.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
This is undoing that.
This is kind of undoing that. They're making a step back and be like, wait, maybe that's not always what happens. Is what happens.
Something so shut down.
There you go.
All right, to pick up where we left off, just to make sure we're on the same page. So... when a brain dies, scientists originally thought a cascade of injury and death molecules are then activated to lead widespread kill, irreversible degeneration, kill all. But this may not be the truth. Or and I don't even know.
I just keep envisioning. I like the Death Eaters.
Right, kind of
visual. But also just like a, like, I don't know why, like a 1980s like vintage video game of like just like things like space invaders, and they're just getting bigger.
Here's what I'm thinking is, like, so at some point our body sends out a self-destruct message, right?
Oh, jeez.
And so it shuts everything down. That's what is
it's like the big red button. You
crazy to me, because I'm
getting too deep, guys.
Yeah.
We're getting too deep.
So what would be the advantage of that is so that shit like this doesn't happen, right? So that, you know, if you believe in the universe, you believe in God or whatever, it's like a fail-safe built in, so that if it prevents zombies, so that if this this death molecule comes in and renders your body incapable of any kind of
conscious thought.
Yeah, well, not just conscious thought, but the
conductivity
of the electricity. It's a way of saying, no, when you're dead, you're dead. That is fascinating. So I'm like having an existential crisis.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was like, if I wasn't already scared to death of death, this would...
This
seal the deal.
Do it, yeah.
Yeah. And then I automatically went to... my kids were asking me this. I don't think it was on the podcast, but it may have come up at some point. My husband had to go to a wake, and they were like, what's a wake? Mm-hmm. And so I actually, because they're old enough, like went to describe to them where the term came from, which mm-hmm. is that they would lay the body out to make sure it was dead.
Right.
Because you didn't want to... you know, there had been instances of somebody being pronounced dead and then, like, you know, an right. hour later and, oh my God, we would have buried him, or people being buried alive. I mean, that's where this came from. So the wake ritual was really to leave the body out long enough to make sure he's
right.
dead.
Right.
A la Monty Python.
Yes. I'm not dead yet. I feel happy.
So, I had a point and I forgot it. But it's something about this.
Oh,
like, you were describing this failsafe, like we're shutting it down. Mm-hmm. But there's always been a suspicion that it's not immediate. That there's like some window in there
right.
where, like, you know, it takes a while. Like, doctors are so quick to pronounce people dead. Like, let's give it a little bit of time. Might not be
right.
that quick.
You should be in those surgery rooms. Now, let's wait.
You want me to call it? Okay, so then this leads to another idea, question. Potentially new area of solving some very complex issues. They could potentially apply some techniques to study larger intact brains in more of a three-dimensional manner rather than just the two-dimensional that you do now, where they take a sample out of its environment and from scans and whatnot. So they're saying that they have some pretty high hopes it will help them with roots of different brain disorders and better understanding normal brain activity too. But the one big thing that they felt like...
You mean I won't have to take all these meds anymore?
Who knows? All right. At some point, though, there's going to have to be more strict ethical guidelines
right?
as to how to go about this.
Yeah.
And so one of the precautions that they had said they were ready for was if there was organized global electric activity, going back, right, what they would see in a normal living brain, they were ready to, like, shut it down. Because they need to make sure that they have clear ethical standards and institutional oversight mechanisms in case something that would happen. So that brings up a whole other...
They've been a little hasty in the past.
Right. Topic.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to pause.
Yeah. But they are being proactive. So Yale's being awesome and be like, nope, we need to take a step back, make sure we understand all the potential risks and consequences.
Of doing this.
Of doing it, yeah.
That was an amazing fun fact.
Thank you. That's I thought it was too. There you go.
Really good stuff.
We're close to our time limit, aren't we?
Well, keep going.
All right. Do you want me to go next?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, I'm going to take a turn and go with the history of memes and the internet.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Can I take a guess that the birth of the meme is around 2011, 2010?
No, it's not.
Okay, go ahead.
So, actually... The word meme was first coined in 1976.
Wow.
No.
Yes.
The bicentennial.
Richard Dawkins, who believed that cultural ideas are similar to genes and that they could spread and mutate as well.
That is fascinating.
This concept was first used in the book of Dawkins called The Selfish Gene.
The Selfish Gene.
Then... It took a little more than 15 years to transform into what we currently see memes, so in the mid-1990s.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah.
That's why it's good podcasting.
Richard Dawkins, esteemed scientist and social critiquer.
Critic?
Critic.
Words. Words are hard.
But, like, why that phrase would have been picked up so many years later and ascribed to something that he probably never could have predicted.
Right.
Like, that is fascinating to me, how words reemerge. And, I know there's other examples out there of things that have kind of, like, remained dormant for a while and then
like
reemerged in different
contexts. Like the 23 proto-words we were talking about today.
Don't get started with your linguistics history gobbledygook, but to your point,
yes.
The evolution of language is fascinating, and in general, I just find it really interesting that he would have come up with something, because I know a little bit about Richard Dawkins. He probably was very proud of like this terminology and this explanation,
yeah,
but never could have predicted that it would have become this like pop culture
viral.
Like my kid is literally
ubiquitous.
Taking a Photoshop, he's doing Photoshop as part of a It's computer science class at school, and they're making memes.
Nice.
Like, it is.
I have replaced all of my emotions with memes.
It's a.
Yeah. It's a good way to live.
It is.
It's much easier than writing out a whole description.
Exactly. I say it's cheaper than therapy, too.
That's right.
I mean, a lot of my messages are in meme form.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, last thing. There are several categories of memes. First is the classic. Those are pictures that were created long ago, but they are still popular and hilarious. Trending.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
These memes are extremely widespread now. They usually reflect some contemporary event. The series, if you see a picture in different variants and slightly different captions.
Yep. I love those.
Specific. Mm. Such pictures are usually created and shared by a certain audience. People from other fields, social level, or even countries may not understand. And unexpected. These are pictures that make you burst out laughing because of the broken expectation.
Nice. There's so many. Were you all visualizing some of these at each of the categories? So I was picturing that baby one where the baby's like this.
Yeah, I just started Googling, like, what's, like, the most top, and that was one.
That was one of them, And then one that's been more recent, but that I was thinking would only maybe fit, definitely wouldn't be understood abroad and fits, like, a certain group of people.
It's a really sophisticated word you came up
with. You thought long and hard.
You are giving her the hardest time with words today.
You thought long and hard about that.
So, like, you order. Know, people that are together, it's a group. No, the one with this, and this is not funny, but it makes a good social commentary in meme form, is the woman that's calling the cops.
Oh, yeah, Becky.
Is it Becky?
Yeah.
They call them all Becky or Sharon or Karen. Yeah. But that one is used in so many ways. And then the other thing I was thinking of were those cards, the EE cards. Is that what they're called?
Oh.
You know, it'll be like some antique-y looking
drawing.
Oh, right. Vintage.
Yeah. Is antique-y not a word either? Yeah. But I was picturing all those as you were describing.
Yeah. There's actually a game. Huh.
I have it.
Yeah, I
know
your
meme.
Too. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Great game.
All of you. Yeah.
Great game.
I gotta get on this bandwagon.
Yeah. I got it at like one of those like Five Below, like the
I got it for Christmas.
Know your meme.
I ordered it for Christmas.
We should bring it in. Do that at work someday.
That would be a good game to have here.
Yeah.
At our office.
That would be fun.
It actually has.
You
a
could get a lot of different people involved version. And enjoy that game.
Yeah. There's
have
naughty.
You seen the naughty version?
Yes. Yes. It's naughty.
Like to the point where I was like, I can't even say these things out loud.
You didn't
like,
play that with your mom, did you?
No, but I attempted to play it with my daughter.
Oh,
and I was like,
this
is not. Oh, no. We can't play this game. No. Yeah.
All right. Fascinating. Oh, you're done?
Yeah, that was it.
Best for last? Excellent.
That was good. No, hardly. I have no theme. So my theme was
happiness.
I kind of was feeling a little blue. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to share facts that make me laugh. That seemed like a good goal.
Excellent. I'm all
so, I have like just this random list of things that they made me laugh. Okay. So the first one is that the first sales pitch for the Nerf ball was Nerf. You can't hurt babies or old people.
This is true. Although I feel like nowadays.
I just drooled.
Nobody would have known it.
That's true.
Nowadays, they wouldn't be able to use that.
No.
Because their toys are very dangerous.
They have some that are like mini tanks that you remote control. I mean, it is just.
Really? I love Nerf.
It's horribly.
Nerf is not just for kids. Hey, call us for a sponsorship.
Yeah. If anyone's listening.
Okay. Since 1975, ballots in Nevada, when you go to vote, they've included none of these candidates as an option. So you go to vote, it would say Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump.
None of the above.
None of the above is an option. Nice. Like, that is awesome.
That is. I wonder how often it's picked.
They seem to think it was quite high.
This last time around.
But I also, I don't know for a fact, but I'm going to suspect that Nevada also has, like, a high rate of, like, random write-ins.
Yes,
like, I just think Vegas breeds crazy, and there's just some real interesting thoughts in that state. But I guess we're not going to get sponsored by the Nevada Tourism Bureau.
Nope. Okay. Shut you.
You may have already known this, but turtles can breathe through their butts.
I did not know that.
No! I know. That's kind of
so
jealous.
Take air in.
They take air in.
Through the backside.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And also out.
So, I see that I don't know. I don't
so
know if it's like a respiratory
has to be connected to their lungs somehow.
Or if it's connected to their lungs. Okay. It's crazy, right?
Interesting.
Yeah, really weird. That should be exit only. I mean, no judgment.
That was full of judgment. That was very heteronormative of you right there.
Yes. It really was.
Not even, not just
in a turtle.
That was really not prudish of you.
Just in a turtle.
I understand there's
just one. In a turtle.
Okay.
Okay?
Right. I mean, what if the turtle...
I know.
To
each his own, right? I should keep it to myself. Okay. Okay. Scientists who have run chemical analyses say that the center of the galaxy...
Mm-hmm.
Smell
is me.
is
my home.
No, the center of the galaxy smells like strawberries.
I did,
and
I have seen that.
And tastes like rum.
Oh, like rum?
Like rum, I know.
So it's like a daiquiri.
It's, yes, the center of the galaxy.
Universe is a daiquiri.
We
that
all
doesn't
this
even
time,
make sense. No. It's so many different levels.
I know. I'm like, what kind
who
of...
How in the world do
that?
They know that?
I who would
don't
say
know.
That?
It's so they have done the study of the chemicals in what is in the non-atmosphere, and it has similarities to those two things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Strawberries and rum.
Right, because I was like... I was thinking, oh, well, they could just study a sample from the... Like, they don't have a sample of anything from the center of the galaxy. They have, like, certain assumptions,
that
probably.
That would have to be right. You have to do it.
Yeah. But delightful. Cookie Monster.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Has we want cookie.
Has a real name.
Is it George?
No. It's Sid.
Nice.
No.
He looks like a Sid.
Sid the monster. Yeah. Frank Oz, the lead puppeteer, said that before he ate his first cookie, he was featured in Sesame Street programming, and he was called Sid.
Huh.
So that's his name. Till he became the Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was delightful.
And now he's like Madonna or whatever. Nobody knows that. They just know him as the Cookie Monster.
Interesting.
Okay.
C is for cookie. That's good enough for me.
Yes, we all know the words.
You,
I don't
watch Sesame Street by yourself.
Not in a
children.
Long time. I do
you
have
guys
HBO
missed it.
Though.
Megan what? Just said she does not know the songs, the words to the Cookie Monster song.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a song.
Oh
my God.
So Sesame Street wasn't on in your house.
Yeah, apparently.
When did it air?
It's still airing.
First
7 years
on
HBO now.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like, I remember watching.
It's been on the air for 70 years
for about
6 hours a day.
Let me put it this way. When I watched it, I witnessed the birth and introduction of Snuffleupagus. He was not a character when I first started watching.
You said birth and puppets and Sesame Street. I'm thinking, like, what? Which version of Sesame Street are you
yeah,
watching?
I witnessed the birth of it. No.
It was messy.
There was lots of felt.
Felt everywhere.
Okay. I just have four more.
Okay.
In 2012, a man wore 60 shirts and 9 pairs of jeans at the same time on an 11.5-hour flight from China to Africa
to avoid
because he didn't want to pay the extra baggage fee.
Good for him.
I know, right? I kind of applaud him.
Yeah.
Kind of don't ever want to meet him.
No.
Yeah.
He probably had, like, his underwear in the pockets.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. So. Can you imagine, like, sitting next to this
one.
Guy?
Yeah.
He's like the Michelin man. Couldn't put his arms down.
I also, wonder, like, how can you get... I can envision, you know, 6 or 12 or however many shirts.
The jeans.
But the jeans?
The pants, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, what if the AC wasn't working?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Just, that's uncomfortable.
That would have been awful.
Yeah. Going to the bathroom?
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's a lot of zippers.
I don't think it happened.
That is a lot of zippers.
And how long was the flight?
11.5 hours.
Yeah, you definitely got to go pee at some
point. Well, so if he's smart, what he did is he took them off for the flight. And then you don't even need to put it back on.
Just shoved them in the
you
overhead.
Yeah.
True, that's true.
I bet you did that. You took everything off and then, like,
imagine
maybe brought a bag
stopped
or something.
Right, well, they couldn't stop him from boarding, right?
Right, right.
Like, what? He's not breaking a law.
Right.
So, There's no rules about.
He probably like layers. His carry-on was probably empty or something, or had very little in it, and so that he had his carry-on, and then over the course of the 11 hours, he shed and just kept putting things into the one bag that he had.
That's brilliant.
Why not just go in with that one bag full?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's too big.
Or maybe there was a bag in the bag. I've done that.
Bag in the bag.
I'll leave with two bags.
Yeah. Okay, this was in recent history. I don't know exactly when, but there is a computer programmer working for a large software company who hired a woman for $8 an hour to slap him in the face every time he tried checking Facebook during work hours.
That is awesome. Good for him.
That's what it took.
And that's the job I want, too.
To slap someone in the face.
$8 an hour. $8, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I know.
If I could do that like as a side hustle, like I'm working here, and then maybe one of you want me to do that.
Dominatrix.
Yes.
Is what you are describing.
Yeah, kind of. How about that? All right, cool.
You're redeeming yourself in the words today, then.
There we go.
I pulled that one out. That was a good one.
Okay. This is totally relevant. I probably should have started with this one. The U.S. Center for Disease Control, CDC, has a real website devoted to zombie preparedness.
Yep.
Wow.
And I did go to it, and it's for real. And they even explain why. They're like, zombie has infiltrated popular culture, but it really does kind of exemplify or mirror or give a framework for what to do in the case of like a widespread epidemic,
right.
And the kinds of things you need to do. Yeah.
Or when the Frankenpigs come.
Or when the Frankenpigs. See? I wonder if there's anything up there today about Frankenpig. We should find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and finally, and there's a little bit of backstory with this one, why it was so funny to me. So I've had conversations with two colleagues, Linda included, around country music. And how...
In case you're wondering, she's anti.
Okay. Anti. Or I would almost say, like, I'm anti, bordering on just, like, a purist, in that most of the contemporary country music I find to be just garbage.
Mm.
Like, it's just... not even as good as like cheesy pop music. It's very derivative, not memorable. Like so many things wrong with contemporary country music.
And I disagree.
And Linda disagrees.
Oh, sorry, Linda.
Whatever.
But I enjoy kind of classic country, old school country. Have seen Willie Nelson several times, and I find him delightful. So, a dairy cow will produce up to 3% more milk when listening to music.
Oh, wow.
But.
Not country.
They don't like country music.
That's awesome.
Especially Willie Nelson. Isn't that odd?
And that reduces their milk production?
It reduces their milk production.
Interesting.
That's funny.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's good stuff.
I gotta go educate those cows.
I wonder if there's any link to, like, females, lactation...
Oh. Yeah, they need like a, it does say something around like a certain kind of rhythm or beat, so they need like a good beat, and that, again...
Not country.
It's contemporary country music. Maybe we'll call it crossover. Has more of that.
She says with a very judgy look on her face.
I am very judgy, especially today. Sorry.
We should see if that follows through with like humans.
Okay, well, maybe. I'm not having any more kids, maybe but I will. Next time I find somebody.
Trust me, that ship sailed a long time ago.
Me too.
A long time ago?
Yeah.
Shut it.
Like yesterday.
All right, does anyone have any final words for Lindsay's mom?
Lindsay, is there anything that you would like us to share with your mom?
I'm trying to get her to come on.
Come on, Mom.
I know.
It's going to be great.
So maybe we have to, like, really brainstorm what it would take.
Maybe I can do to her what I do to Heather all the time, which is just start recording.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think the only way to get her on is if I just call her one day, ask her about something interesting, and then be like, oh, Mom, you just recorded your first episode.
Yeah, but now we just... you want to pick us up?
Maybe
we do. No, I already told her that I was going to do it, so it's fine.
Good. Okay, we're going to... We'll figure this out.
Although my dad said that she would probably not be our best viral marketer because she's not going to tell anyone that will then know how to go on.
Dad, we're working on our content first before we work on marketing, okay? I've got a whole strategy ready.
Yeah.
So appreciate
the
input.
His alley.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. It is a very valid strategy that we will be enacting at some point, but we're not quite there yet.
We should stop recording now so we can go work on our marketing slide deck.
Indeed, that's right.
And our business development plan.
Model.
Yes. Yep. Right, all right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it again. Go to our Facebook page and hit like. Go to whatever platform you listen to your podcasts on and rate us, review us, share us. We are over triple digits with each episode. Hundreds of people are now listening to us, which is very exciting. Hashtag almost famous. Jess, we miss you. And so hopefully you'll be able to be on next week. For the Fun Bunch, this is Linda signing off.